So to get us into today, I want to talk to you about a bike trip that Jenna and I did. Jenna and I, in 2010, when we had a little bit more energy than we do now, hopped on pedal bikes, and we went from Vancouver to Halifax. And we found it was before the time of smartphones, so there was a lot of, like, asking people for directions, asking people for help along the way. And it was fine until we got to Quebec. And in Quebec, I thought my grade 10 French was going to carry me through. It didn't so much. I could tell them to close the door and where is the bathroom, but I couldn't really figure out, you know, where the local campsite was. So there was at one point we were heading into Montreal, and a business was right here, and I went inside to ask for directions to a certain place we're looking, and the gentleman knew no English. So we gestured at each other a bunch. We tried to pull out a hard copy map of Montreal. Didn't get anywhere. We just kind of shrugged and shook hands and waved goodbye, and that was it. I had to go find some English-speaking person, right? Speaking a common language is essential for us understanding each other. Some of you have probably called a helpline before or a warranty, and you get an automated machine that picks up. And that's fine, automated machines, it's what's common now. But sometimes you'll call one, and the automated machine doesn't speak English. And you just hope, for the love of God, if you press 1, you're going to get English, right? Sometimes you're not. You're going to get a different language, right, depending on who you're calling, right? Speaking the same language is essential for understanding. We're in a sermon series called AD, and that's AD is Year of Our Lord, but I'm putting a spin on that, calling it After Death. Jesus died, rose again, and then he spent some time after he died, about 40 days, with his disciples, teaching them and guiding them and revealing himself more to them. Today is called Broken Barriers and Pierced Hearts, and we'll get to that, about why. So this is our fourth week. The other sermons are online if you want to listen to them later, but just to recap from just last week, the disciples were left with this promise. He said, "Now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." So this is the end of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he gives them this beautiful promise. Okay, I'm going to leave. I'm going to send to the Father, but stay here in Jerusalem. God is going to give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God's very presence in the here and now, and he's going to fill them with power. So they wait, and they waited. They stayed unified in prayer, as we talked about last week. They kept gathering. They kept praying. They would look to the scriptures, and okay, what has been fulfilled, and what is coming, what is God doing now? And then they chose another disciple. So we talked about how waiting on God is an active thing. When we're waiting on the Lord, it's not just this passive thing, it's something that we are engaged with. We can pray, we can connect with the believers, we can look to the scriptures to see what God is doing in the midst of our present day. So if you would like, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 2, or if you have it on a device, you can go to it there. If not, it'll be up on the screen as well. We're going to be starting in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to be doing most of chapter 2 today, most of it. We'll miss a few bits and pieces, but we'll cover that. So I'm starting at the beginning of verse 2. It says, "On the day of Pentecost," Pentecost, for those who are unfamiliar with that language, it's just a Jewish celebration. It means 50 days after Passover, and it was when they celebrated the grain harvest ending. "So on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting." So they're waiting, they're praying, and then this loud noise comes along, and then this. It says, "Then it looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared." So it's hard to, you know, it's hard for them to describe, but they're giving a few metaphors. It's bright, shimmering. "It appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability." So they're in this room, they're gathering, they're praying, and then what Jesus had promised the Father would give us, the Holy Spirit comes, and it fills them, and they see this bright thing on top of each believer, and then they're suddenly given this ability to speak something that they could not possibly do. And because it's Pentecost, there is a lot of people here in Jerusalem. A lot of different nationalities represented. Pentecost was a pilgrimage festival, so people would travel there for this event to celebrate to the ending of the grain harvest. And so there's tons of different nationalities represented, tons of different languages represented. And here the Holy Spirit comes and gives them the ability to speak in different languages. It says this, "At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. So they notice right away, like, something weird is going on, something strange is going on, God is doing something. There's going to be Egyptian, Lebanese, Arabic, Greek, all these different different dialects of Hebrew being spoken, and it's all being shared with them in such a way that they can understand it. And then there's a response, sort of a twofold response that often happens when something good and miraculous happens. It says, and we hear all these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. That's what the disciples are sharing. They stood there amazed and perplexed, and they said, what can this mean? They asked each other. You know, there's that exploratory curiosity. But then there's always that pushback, too. When God is on the move and something good is happening, it says, others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk. That's all. Now, I think that's a very human response. I think that's, if I was there and I was an onlooker and I saw this event happening, I would assume probably, yeah, maybe drugs or alcohol involved. I don't know, right? They didn't have Rosetta Stone. They didn't have Google Translate. They didn't have things that easily could make languages possible for other people. So I would probably assume that something weird is going on, some form of substance abuse or some sort of cult activity, and I would not assume that God is on the move. Some of you may have, a way to illustrate this, some of you may have seen the movie Doctor Strange. It's a Marvel movie where he is a brain surgeon, car accident, breaks his hands, can't do brain surgery anymore. So he goes, tries everything to get his hands back, and he goes to this metaphysical teacher in India. He doesn't know what they're going to treat him with, and then she touches him, and you can see in that picture, his spirit sort of leaves his body for a moment, right? And at this point, they've just been talking and drinking tea, and then she does this to them. And so then he immediately goes, what was in that tea? And he goes, just tea and a little honey, right? And when something weird happens and something incredible happens, we immediately assume, okay, maybe this can't be God. This is something that's playing with my mind or playing with what my senses should be doing. And that's some of the reaction that the people had to the disciples doing this, that, oh, they're just drunk, that's all. But asking, what does it mean, when the other crowd that said, you know, what does this mean, these people speaking in all these different languages? That's the question I want to explore further. To unpack that a little bit, I want to tell you about an experience I had in India, where I was on a mission trip to India with about 15 other people my age. We were there for a month doing a prayer trek, and we had this one guide who was a missionary there named Nathan. Now, Nathan is an interesting guy because he grew up in India as a missionary's kid, came to North America for schooling, and then went back to India for mission work. He felt called to go back. So when we met him in India, he was a 55-year-old tall white man, but he was completely fluent and perfect, flawless Hindi because of most of his life was in India, right? So there's one evening where we're out at a restaurant, and there's 15 of us all at this long table, and we're all Caucasian, and Nathan is sitting down at this end of the table, and the waiter comes up, and he sees us all, and he brings a pen and a paper, and he begins with a lot of difficulty to begin to take our order in very, you know, broken English, right? It's a bit of a struggle. And then Nathan, from the other end of the table, calls out in perfect, you know, fluent, flawless Hindi, something to him. And I was sitting in the middle, and I watched the waiter's face, and his whole face just went stunned. You see his pen and his paper just kind of go limp, and he's just like caught in awe that this tall, white, 55-year-old man called out to him in perfect Hindi. So the waiter runs down to the other end, and they start jabbering back and forth in Hindi, and like Nathan is perfect, right? He's even got the head bobbed down as he's going, and he's talking, and it's just... He's just like, you would not expect this from a white guy. And he then takes our order and for us in Hindi, and the waiter goes and puts in the order, right? But when you're speaking the common language like that, when you're doing that, it's you break down barriers and you can understand each other. When we're relating to one another, we can break down barriers. And I believe that is what God is beginning to do within this chapter of Acts. When the Holy Spirit comes and begins to fill people, they can speak other languages and share about what God has done. I believe that God's presence has the power to break down barriers. That God's presence is shattering the lines between different cultures and different languages and able to share his love with not just the Jews anymore, but with everyone on the earth. So back to our story. Peter responds to this wonderment of some people and ridicule of other people. This is what he says in verse 14. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as you are assuming." I love this line. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. It's like, if it was 9:30, fine. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? No, it's like, 9 o'clock's too early. We can't be drunk. I think that's faulty reasoning, Peter. But anyway, that's what he assumes with, right? So he gives them this response. He says, "No, we're not drunk." And he goes on to quote the prophet Joel and talk about how Joel in the Old Testament predicted this, prophesied this, that Holy Spirit would come and fill all men and women and they would prophesy, right? He quotes the Old Testament from that. And then he gives, this is, you know, his first sermon as the being filled with the Spirit, and he then launches into an explanation of the gospel. He says this. He says, "People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him." Peter pulls punches. He says, "You killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, because death could not keep him in its grip." This beautiful portrayal of the gospel that Peter gives. And then he goes on to talk about how King David in the Old Testament also prophesied that the resurrection would take place. And he ends with this thunderclap here. He says, "So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah." This is how he ends his sermon to this group of mixed cultures and mixed languages. "Know for certain that Israel has made, God has made this Jesus to be both Lord and Messiah." Now this type of thing, being yelled out publicly, as we know, could get him killed. But he is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He is bold. And the disciples go out and begin to preach the gospel. And then the people that have heard this, there is a response. God has broken down the barriers there and it pierces their hearts. It says this, "Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?'" What should we do? So they've gone from a place of going, okay, this miracle is happening. What does it mean? You know, trying just based on curiosity. And then it pierces their hearts, and they have to respond. What must we do? Peter replies to them, and he says this, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God." That is repentance. You're turning away from your brokenness and your sin, and you're turning towards God. "Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And this promise is, and it's not just for these people who've heard it, this promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away. And all have been called by the Lord God. And then it says that over 3,000 people were added to the church that day. The church was just starting, and began with 3,000 people becoming followers of Jesus. God's presence has the power to break down barriers. And it broke down the barriers of language, of cultural differences, and people became followers of Jesus. You see, it broke down everything because we have a common issue, a common problem, and that is our brokenness or our sin, the things that keep us in pain towards ourselves and cause pain towards others. All of humanity, just as these first disciples shared with these people, are in need of forgiveness that comes from Jesus. We all need love and grace. Back to our bike trip for a moment. We stayed at a B&B in Quebec, and there was a gentleman there who is quite eclectic to see. He's probably in his late 60s, but he had long, flowing white hair, sort of hipster glasses, and no English. So he's kind, and he's sort of gesturing us, like, here's the bathroom, this is when food will be, and he's showing us, you know, what's going on. And so he and I didn't really connect at first, but then he and I had a common problem, and we really connected. What happened was, he offered to graciously launder our sweaty bike clothes. We're like, great. So we give them to him, and he takes them down into a basement, and into a laundry machine, and comes back up. And probably about 10, 15 minutes later, I realize my little expensive bike computer, you put it on your bike and it tells you information, was in my pocket that is now in the laundry machine. So I try to go to the basement, but there's a door there, and for some reason the door is locked to the basement. So now I run over to the quarters of the house where this gentleman is, start banging on the door, and he opens it up, and I'm trying to like gesture wildly, like, open laundry machine, go, let's go. And he's just kind of confused, doesn't know what it is. So I just kind of drag him over to the door, and he opens the door for me, and I just race down, open the machine, dig around, and I find it, and it's still working. And then he spits out two English words that he knows. He goes, lucky man, lucky man. Now, so until we had that common issue, we didn't really connect, but we then broke down a barrier and we were able to share a moment together. I believe the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to relate to others about our common problem, about our brokenness, about our sin, to share that there is a beautiful love and forgiveness found in Jesus. This past week, I had a stressful moment where I was working through this biblical text, and I was trying to navigate where to focus and what God was speaking to me in it and how to share it, put it together. And the stressful moment came because I could feel like, okay, is this message going to be ready for Sunday? You know? And I went over to this thing. I've built this. This is about the extent of my carpentry skills. I built this little prayer bench, and there's nothing special about it. There's nothing magical about it. It's just something that I can kneel on, and it's just a posture that makes me available towards God. And as I'm kneeling there, I sense God's reminding me that He's given me this Holy Spirit within, and that is what enables His great salvation to be proclaimed through these messages. I felt the angst melt off me as I kneeled, and then I realigned myself with the truth of the gospel. The Holy Spirit enables us to be Jesus' witnesses of His forgiveness for those who turn to Him. And just as Peter communicated to people, and he shared it in a language they could understand, that's my prayer, is that when I preach and when I share, that it's coming through in a language that it hits home for us. Because God's presence has the power to break down barriers. Let's pray, and then we're going to partake of communion. God, I thank You for this huge event that happens in Acts chapter 2. That is just so incredibly vital for the life of the church, that Your presence now fills us as believers. When we follow You, You fill us with Your presence, and it empowers us to live a life of love, of serving You, of following You, of doing things that we never thought possible, of changing the way we think, of treating people that we didn't think we'd be able to love. That Your Holy Spirit gives us the ability to relate to other people and to share Your gospel compassionately with others. I pray that as we explore another sermon in this series, that we would get to know You more, Holy Spirit. That we would lean into Your presence, relying on You, communicating with You. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.